Today marks the beginning of the annual celebration of Catholic Schools Week, and this is a time for us to acknowledge the vital role that our church has played and continues to play in our schools by forming student disciples in faith, knowledge, and service to truly make a difference in our world. Thinking about this celebration brought back a number of memories of my own days in Catholic schooling. I spent first through eighth grade attending Holy Apostles Elementary School in New Berlin. One of the vivid memories that I have of those days involves the distribution of our report cards. You see, for some of those years, our report cards were not handed out by our teacher or sent home in a sealed envelope. No, our report cards were given to us by our pastor, Father James Johnson. Father Johnson was very much a larger-than-life figure in our parish. He was quite a big and burly man, and he spoke with a voice that was forceful and gruff. By way of comparison, I used to think that Father Johnson was a lot like the characters played by the actor John Wayne in Western movies. He was very intimidating. I recall those report card days when Father Johnson would enter the room, sit down behind the teacher's desk, and pick up the stack of cards organized in alphabetical order. The first thing that he would do would be to look at the name on the card, and he would call you forward. And Father Johnson favored the use of family names rather than first names. For example, he would bellow, "Haynes!" And then you would come forward and stand before the desk. Father Johnson then would open the report card, and he would scan the grades up one side of the card and down the other. Then he would close the card, and he would hand it to you, and he would look you squarely in the eyes, and then he would express his own assessment of your performance. As far as I could tell, Father Johnson had three levels of assessment. A good report card earned a nod and the expression, "Okay." An average report card also would receive a nod, but no words. And lastly, a poor performance received a furrowed brow and what appeared to be a grunt. Now, fortunately, I enjoyed school and was a fairly decent student, so the experience was not as imposing as it could have been. My real concern was for my younger brother, Rick. You see, school was not easy for Rick, nor was Rick easy for his teachers. And I used to worry about the reaction that he received from Father Johnson when he came to class at report card time. So I asked him once, "Rick, what does Father Johnson do when he gives you your report card? Does he grunt at you, or does he even yell?" And Rick had kind of a sheepish look on his face, and then he says, no, not that. Father Johnson doesn't, do that. No, what he does is he just kind of hands me the report card, and then he slowly makes the sign of the cross over me, and he says, "May God have mercy over you." Of course, dealing with Father Johnson at report card time was not the only obstacle that we had to face. As you well know from your own school days, there is that moment of truth when the card needs to be shown to your parents. Now, showing the report card to my parents was really a twofold challenge. You see, my parents were not just rigorous in assessing our academic scores. In fact, what seemed to be more important to them was what I called the other side of the report card. That was the side of the report card which had to do with behavior and conduct. For my mom and dad, the most essential element of our performance, particularly because it was a Catholic school, was the degree with which our actions and efforts were in accord with the goal of becoming a holy child of God. And they used to tell us, that's why we're spending the money to send you to a Catholic school. We don't just care about your mind. We care about your soul. I share these stories with you Because there's a real sense in which our gospel reading today could be looked upon as a report card for our behavior as disciples of Christ. Our gospel today is that portion of Matthew's gospel, his good news, in which Jesus shares his primary lesson on what it means to be one of his followers. Now, sometimes you will hear people speak about this lesson as a collection of rules, the new law. That's because Matthew does seem to portray Jesus similar in the manner of the lawgiver Moses, with our Lord going up a mountain and then coming down, sitting down in the posture of a judge. But the more accurate description of this lesson would be to call it a sharing of wisdom, a teaching of wisdom. The lesson that Jesus presents takes the form of a collection of beatitudes. Technically, they're called makarisms. The term makarism refers to the oft-repeated word makarios in the gospel. In English, that's the designation blessed, which can mean happy, fortunate, or favored. The purpose of a beatitude is to teach a lesson advocating a particular manner of behavior and the consequences that flow from such conduct. That is, if you act in a certain way, then these are the blessings that will result. What makes the teaching of Jesus in today's gospel so challenging and compelling is that the behavior or the values Jesus instructs as the means to happiness are not aligned with the usual path advocated in our typical worldview. Our human standards suggest that the way to happiness is through such things like the accumulation of wealth, or the acquisition of influence, or the deployment of strength, or an attitude of aggressiveness. Yet as you heard the words of Jesus' proclamation today, he counsels things like simplicity, meekness, mercy, and peace. One of the key reasons for this contrast is the belief of Jesus that happiness is not something of our own creation. Happiness is not something that we construct through our own talents and efforts. Rather, happiness is a condition which results when God bestows his blessings to us. The human manufacture of happiness may seem to be so, but its pleasure ultimately is not and never will be lasting nor completely fulfilling. True happiness comes when we recognize our dependence upon God and thus invite his grace and strength to work in and through us. That is why the Beatitudes paradoxically proclaim that happiness can reside even in times of insult and persecution. Even such times of trial and tribulation cannot strip away our happiness when the love of God dwells in us. And so this Catholic Schools Week provides us with an opportunity not just to celebrate the good things that are happening in our schools. It also gives all of us an opportunity to imagine what our discipleship report card might look like. The School of Discipleship is not just for our young students. It is an exercise of lifelong learning. And so let us assess our performance. Are we seeking the blessedness that comes from embracing attitudes which unite us with the lasting joy that comes from God working in and through us? Or are we pursuing happiness via the human standards favored by contemporary society? Are we trying to fabricate what amounts to a castle built on sand? If so, as Father Johnson once said, may God have mercy on us.